Hare Krishna, I have a question from Abhishek Joshi. I have heard many devotees say while preaching that Krishna fulfills all desires. To what extent is that statement true? If he truly does fulfill all desires, why is it that he does not fulfill our desire to enjoy separately without him or the desire to be controller? Does Krishna truly fulfill all desires? If we begin by defining what desire is, and that desire is anandamaya abhyasat, to enjoy, but to enjoy transcendentally, then we can say, based on a verse in Srimad Bhagavatam, that Krishna's desire and his reciprocation with living entities over the long term is to actually bring them to the platform of surrender to him. There's a verse in Srimad Bhagavatam, 5th canto, which although relates to devotees, but since all living entities are originally parts and parcels of the Lord, it can also be taken to relate to them, and it begins with the words Satyam Dishati Artito Artito Ninam. And basically the verse says that the Lord fulfills the material desires of a devotee who approaches him with motive, but in such a way that he won't demand further benediction. And he gives the devotee his lotus feet, even though the devotee does not aspire for it. So I'm applying this in a greater context of living entities who are also all devotees. They have desires in this material world when they're complete non-believers, and obviously they're not praying to God for the fulfillment of their desires. Then, through the agency of material energy, through karma and past activities, living entities get what they deserve, not necessarily what they desire. And to the degree that they deserve what they desire, to that degree, they get it. However, even for non-believers, Krishna's own desire is to somehow or another gradually bring living entities in contact with him. And so in one way or another, he tries to guide things in a way that living entities will attain the association of pious souls, of devotees, and ultimately come to the stage of being believers. When, for instance, someone becomes a believer and he prays to God for fulfillment of material desires, then, as it's stated here, Krishna reciprocates in order to increase that person's faith, but in a way that the result will not actually damage or increase a person's appetite for material things. When someone becomes a Vaishnava, a devotee, and understands the personality of Godhead, then Krishna, again, continues in that way for Vaishnavas who are materially motivated, until gradually they become free of all material motivation. And in this way, from first a distance, and once devotees surrender to the Lord directly, Krishna is managing and reciprocating devotees' desires so that they come to him. This question about why doesn't he fulfill our desire to enjoy separately without him, he does. But the problem is that Krishna gives us the facility to be separate from him, but we're not happy separate from him. And that's why we continue to look for happiness, and the only place that we really do find happiness is when we are situated on the transcendental platform and serve Krishna's senses, Rishikena Rishikesham. And we also have the ability to be controller in a limited way because we're very small, whether we're controlling the universe or controlling our family or our business. Krishna also gives us that. But once again, a controller who's separated from Krishna is not satisfied, is not happy. And ultimately, real happiness comes when we come to the transcendental platform. And on the transcendental platform, not only Krishna, but all living entities fulfill each other's desires, because everyone's desire is Krishna's desire, and is to please Krishna and to fulfill Him. So in the spiritual world, desire trees will fulfill your desires, touchstone will fulfill your desires, Sarabi cows will fulfill your desires, Krishna will fulfill your desire, Vanchakalpadurubhyasya, Vaishnavas fulfill desire, and there's no obstruction to fulfilling those desires, because in that sense, the surrendered Vaishnava's desire is Krishna's desire. Therefore, fulfilling his desire is fulfilling Krishna's. So that is when you can really say that Krishna fulfills all desires without restriction and without limitation. And prior to that, it should be understood that while Krishna fulfills desires, he fulfills them indirectly and in ways that don't necessarily match the plan of the desirer, but ultimately they bring him to what he really wants, although he doesn't know that that's what he wants, which is the lotus feet of the Lord. That's it for tonight. It's late and I'm tired, and we'll be in touch again tomorrow. Hare Krishna.